I've been so amped and excited to preach today. We're going to continue with part two of our story. Last week was great having Greg and Michelle with us. And just to recap a little bit, we did part one of the series of the 2020 journey we did. We did an introduction and a revelation for us to understand. If you didn't get that, today you can get it. We are all created in the image of God. That means all of us. Whether you're actually pre-Christian, post-Christian, after-Christian, before-Christian, it doesn't matter. If you're saved, unsaved, we are all created in the image of God. And the second thing God has placed in our hearts is eternity in man's heart. That we know and that we, for some reason or other, understand that we are seeking after God. And some people seek after different kinds of gods, and they seek after a spiritual experience. But in actual fact, the truth is we are seeking God. John 17, 18, when Jesus was ascending to heaven, before that, reading out of the message, it's not up there just yet. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. That's how the message puts it. And for me, Jesus had no doubt, no misunderstanding. No, we should not be having confusion or misunderstanding of what Jesus intended for us to do. He intended for us to be on mission with him, in mission, teamed in with him. And to commence the journey, we had to start somewhere. And so we preached last 2 weeks ago, we take the first step. And the outworking of that was to make a difference in our world. The reality, and you can go and study psychology, you can study the Bible, you can just think about this stuff yourself, but the reality is until you are functioning and making a difference to people around you, you're not fully living the life. That's what they all say. The imperative is for us to make a difference, and we looked at Acts 1:8 last time. We want to make a difference in your world. We want to make a difference beyond your world. That's what we are called to. That's what we are mandated to. We want to make a difference in the whole world. And going over to make a difference, we have to understand something. And so today I want to preach on discover your purpose. Oh, well, I already know that. Not so much fast. Let me finish. Proverbs 29:18. If people can't see, again, I'm just reading out of the message for this one. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. While I was preparing this message, you know the little, again, I talk about the emojis. You know the little emojis where your brain is exploding? I kept having one of those. And when I read this again, I was like, if people can't see what God is doing, if you can't see what God is doing in your life, if you can't see on your spiritual journey, that's okay. It's okay. We're going to help you. If you're saying, man, I don't know where I am. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's going on around me. But I have to try. I'm not sure. I just want to get somewhere. I don't know what God is all about. Scripture then says, they stumble all over themselves. And you might be, one day I'm up, one day I'm down. One day I'm around the corner, one day I'm around that corner. Next time I'm upside down. This spiritual life, this Christian walk is so hard. I don't know how I'm doing this. Stumbling all over yourself. Some of you stumbling in your careers. Some of you stumbling in your marriage, your finances, your relationships. Never truly satisfied. I'm just not getting there. I don't know where to go next. And then you stumble around, and then human nature tells us this. I have to fix this. Right? Okay. There was one person. Am I preaching to the right people? Because I was starting to think I'm preaching 80% better than you're getting it. Anyway. Hot tip. Hashtag hot tip. Not true. You don't have to fix it. Why? It's because your focus is in the wrong place. If we learn to realign and change our focus, then it goes on and says, when they attend to what he reveals, when God reveals this to us, Your focus is meant to be on Jesus. How many times have we said it? Let's keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Let's keep our eyes fixed. Jesus, what are you saying? Jesus, what are you doing? Everything will come into order. Well, Mark, you preach that with such confidence. How do you know? Because I'm living proof. See, I'm not just telling you words. I'm telling a life that was lived when my focus was on everything. I don't know how much time I've got this morning, but the Lord, He keeps showing me stuff. When I was in business, I was like, if I work hard and I climb the corporate ladder, and the more I climb, what happens when you climb? You get a 12.4% increase. You get more money. If I get more money, I can provide for Bridget and for Louise a better life, a better house, a better car, a better vacation. It sounds reasonable. But for every action, there's a consequence. And the consequence was that I never saw my daughter for like a year and a half of my life. Because by the time I got home from work, she was in bed. And by the time she woke up in the morning, I was already gone to work. Because it was work, 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 work. Hence, they used to call me another title, a workaholic. Because I had this idea. And when I understood that every area of my life was out of order, when I made Jesus the sole focus, supernaturally, everything else seemed to come into order. I don't know how it worked. I just know it worked. And it was amazing. Then it goes on and says, they will be most blessed. Not just blessed, most blessed. It means that this is not a simple material adjustment of fixing a blessing, but a deep contentment of the soul. A peace, we spoke about that this morning, and a rest in Jesus, a deep-seated joy. The joy of the Lord is, yeah, absolutely. There was a void that needed to be filled, because you know, when you give up something or you get rid of something, there is a void. Allow Holy Spirit to come and fill that void and for Him to take control. I said it the last time I preached, my saddest thing is I see people settling for less than what Jesus paid for. And we don't have to live like that. We need to understand the journey. And David wrote a psalm about the path of life, and it goes like this. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy." That's not, let's be happy. It's joy, exceedingly joy. "At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You have made known to me the path of life." What direction? I don't know what direction I should go. No, no, no. The Lord has shown you what direction to go in. He's shown you there is a process, the way forward, the steps that we should take. He says that let us walk in this because it's been ordained for me on this journey that I am on. Truthfully, if I may be so bold to, and I know, again, a lot of what I'm preaching today, I'm just going, oh yeah, me, oh yeah, me, oh yeah, me. So I'm preaching out of conviction and out of God's word this morning. Some of us stayed at this mountain way too long. You keep going around them, and you've got such a well-worn furrow going around this mountain. Oh, I've been there. I remember as kids, we went to... Young people, do not do this. We went off to a youth camp, and the person driving the bus taking us to youth camp got lost. And you know how impatient youth are when that happens, and they recognize... We've been past this building for the second time now. We've been past that tree for the third time now. So, of course, we started to chirp. Wow, haven't we seen that tree before? And we could actually see the bus drivers. But some of us live that life. We just keep going. You go, oh, yeah, no, I saw that tree. Oh, no, I saw that building. Oh, yeah, no, I saw the shop. Oh, no, we've done this before. I've been here before. I want to encourage you to them. Dare I say to you, step out the boat, risk a little bit, and walk on water. With you on this journey at your right hand, there is fullness of joy and pleasures forever. Heavenly joy, waterfall of joy falling down upon you as you walk this journey. Last week we looked at take the first step, make a difference. That was 2 weeks ago, sorry. Today we're talking about discover purpose. Most people are here, but not sure and perhaps not even doing it successfully. Next week we're going to talk about choose joy. When this takes place, you will find joy unspeakable. I mean, who wants to be full of joy? I'm not talking about being happy. I'm talking about joy forevermore. I used to have a friend in South Africa. He was a Christian, young guy. His name was Colin Wiley. When you spoke to Colin, Colin was like, "Hi, how are you?" I never saw him angry. I never saw him so downcast your face. Never saw him. He was just joy unspeakable. Full of glory. Why? Because of Jesus in his life. And he was just always this, you know, irritatingly so upbeat guy. Don't you want to be that guy? You're on your roller coaster and he's just like plain sailing and he's on the one track rail overhead and he's like, yeah. Why are you so happy? Oh, Jesus. And when you're down, sometimes you don't want to hear that. But it's truth. Hashtag truth. Then we're going to look at find freedom. Get over the things that hold you back. Know God in your heart. So here's a thought, a thing. Why do people have difficulty in this step of discover your purpose? Statistically, it is reported 87% of the body of Christ are still trying to discover their purpose. I've been a Christian 25 years and I still don't know what I'm supposed to do. One again, I'm going to tell you, after today, you're going to know what to do. The second thing they have difficulty with is finding freedom. Freedom session. Don't tell me I don't punt it. Hashtag thought. Here's a thought. The Bible says that my body and the different functioning parts, my ears and eyes and hands and lips and mouth and all that, is a metaphor for the body of Christ. Correct? Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. You can go and read it. It's all there. It says, Corinthians 12 especially says, if you're an ear and you say to the eye, I have no use of you, and if you're a hand and you say to the foot, we are many parts of the body, but one body. Okay? Just track with me a little bit here. Go with me here. The body has different parts, different functions. We're not all the same. We're not gifted the same. Hashtag newsflash. We don't have the same capacities. We are all gifted. We are all grace upon our lives. And we all are anointed to do what God has called us to do. Now, 87% of the body doesn't know what it's meant to be doing, statistically speaking. I know I'm leading you into a trap this morning, but it's okay. That's why the body of Christ these days is so impotent. Let that sink in. Means we're not functioning at full power. Because only 13%, do the math, of the body is actually functioning. And because of that, ears are trying to be eyes, and eyes are trying to be hands, and hands are trying to be feet. And it should not be so. Some of you have discovered what your purpose is, what your part of the body you are, but you're not functioning in it. You're part of the 87%. Here's good news. This is how the Bible describes or reasons what's taking place. Because people are in pursuit of trying to discover their purpose, but are doing it according to the world standards. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world. I mean, that's pretty an imperative. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. People are trying every day to try and conform to the way of the world. We're trying to do things. I don't feel good. I'm going to go for counseling. And I'm going to go and speak to some guru out there who has no spiritual understanding. And I'm going to follow and do what they tell me to do. But the people are copying the ways and the paths of the world. They're on the world's journey and are coming up short because it doesn't work. That's why we have greed and violence and stealing and cheating and lying. Man, I've come across so many Christians that still lie. And I'm like, I know they're lying. And I'm going, okay. But you know, I'm gracious. I'm not going to call them a liar. But we fulfill all the ills of society because we are in pursuit of worldly endeavors and we are focused on the wrong stuff. We're in pursuit of something that will never satisfy. I tried this, I tried that. I mean, I told you times back about a friend of mine, the young guy came up to the front. I tried rock and roll, and I tried woman, and I tried drugs, and I think I'll try Jesus. We don't try Jesus. They're in pursuit of worldly endeavors, wrong stuff. Because we are always fighting and scheming. How can I fix this? How can I get it? And our hearts are good trying to fix it. But I'm telling you, stop trying to fix it. Focus on Jesus. Lord, what should I do in this situation? Father, help me understand what's going on around me. The Bible says, rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind and discern God's will, because we all can discern. It's not for the special few, anointed few. His journey for you, because the scripture says it is good and acceptable and perfect. So the question comes eventually, so Mark, how can we change this journey, this alluring side roads? So we're going to look at some side road distractions to purpose. And then for the left and right brain, I did a little picture for you again today. There we go. Three things we're going to look at. The confusion, roads of confusion, comparison, and counterfeit. Number one, confusion side road. Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. Don't be confused about these things. Stay focused on Jesus. Romans 12:2, as I just read, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of... Don't be confused by what the world is trying to tell you. What is Jesus telling you? If I dare say, what are your pastors trying to help you with? Don't be confused about gifts. These are your spiritual gifts. Romans 12. Those are your spiritual gifts. They belong to you. They don't belong to anybody else. They belong to you. 1 Corinthians 12 are spiritual gifts. Romans 12 are your motivational gifts. It's in your DNA. It's who you are. 1 Corinthians 12 are the spiritual gifts that belong to the Spirit, and He will use them at will through whoever says, use me, Lord. And then again, what is the most spiritual, what is the most important spiritual gift from 1 Corinthians 12? Well, I want to do this and I want to, no. If I'm sick, I do not need a prophetic word. I need someone to come and lay hands on me and pray for me to be healed. For me, at that point in time, is the most spiritual gift, needed one. Amen. Good. These gifts that God has placed within you and made available to you that you have to bring to the body, what is your role in the body? That is the question I want you to ask yourself. What role, not is my part, what role am I playing in this body? There are many parts, but one body, all for the common good, it says. This is a concept of truth, whether you agree or disagree. Don't be led into confusion. Well, I don't know if my role is important. I'm just like the back house person. Well, if it wasn't for the back house person, the front house person couldn't function. You think up here I have all the power? No, the man at the back there has all the power, because he is able to hit a button and I look like one of those kung fu movies out of sync. No one hears me. Don't be confused about how important you are. Doesn't matter what you do. It is important to God. Here's a hashtag truth. I cannot be fully me unless you are fully you. Because otherwise, then it means that I have to pick up all the slack of, well, who didn't do this? I mean, I just love the fact. Did you notice today that there was a second generation of kids leading us in worship? That there was the first generation down there? I can't wait that we clear the stage a little bit and have all of them up here. Just a thought, Shane. Well done to the ladies who put this all together. I mean, their kids are doing great. Secondly, comparison road. 2 Corinthians 10:12. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves. Let me just say clearly before I carry on reading, self-recommendation is no recommendation at all. But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. That's not clever words by Pastor Mark. That is the word of God. You cannot discover your purpose when you're focused on other people's purposes. I want to be like that. I want to do that. I want to be... Okay. Too many people are leaning over the shoulders of others, checking in what they have. What's their anointing? What's their gifting? What's their portion that the Lord has assigned to them? They go even further. What house have they got? What car do they drive? What clothes do they wear? What makeup do they have? You know, when we start comparing and we all look at social media and we think, ooh, I want to be like that. Let me give you a hot tip here. What you're seeing on social media is just the next best selfie. That's all. That's not what they like in real life. Trust me. I know some of you go, ooh. You will never be happy, satisfied, joyful, or content when you're looking what others are doing, what they have, what gift they have. I'm telling you, take hold of your gift and saying, I'm even afraid to say a gift because then it means that, well, that's the least one. No, it's not. If you love making coffee, make the best coffee that we can drink. And I appreciate a good cup of coffee. These people who lead us here in music, they practice. You have no idea what goes on behind the scenes. You have no idea that while you're still trying to figure out, oh, should I make it by 10:30 when we actually start at 10 o'clock? They're already here at 8:30 practicing. So they can present for you to worship the King. They are giving of their times. When we try and think about others gifting, anointing their portion, it means that you're not using your own. It means that I'm looking in, I'm trying to run in somebody else's lane that is not designed for me. You will always be dissatisfied and unhappy. I'm spending too long. Number 3, counterfeit side road. You will never find your purpose when you're pursuing a purpose that is counterfeit. What do you mean by that? If it's not from God, it's counterfeit. Right? Some of you think, oh, it's my career. No, you don't need a career. You need a calling. Yeah. Well, isn't my job important? It is absolutely important. If I can just make more money, it's not about making money that's the thing. God has gifted people to make money. He's gifted us. That it all comes from God. Go and read it in the Bible. It's good to make money and have a great career. But when it's sport, when it's everything else besides Jesus, then it is counterfeit. It's not living the true King. James 4:3 says, as you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. And we say, no, it's for the King and the kingdom. Yeah, but just hold on, God, 1 second. I want to just tell you something. All I'm saying is that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. In fact, God has a plan and purpose for you before you were even born. Before you were even made, He had already ordained for you His plan and purposes. He, God, in our space and time is already outside of space and time, functioning in it. It wasn't, sorry guys, you're the ones I know that's pregnant. Vince and Sherry are having another baby. What do we do with this one? You know, I used to think years back, people would get babies up front, or as Michelle did here, prophesied over the new baby. And I used to think, why are you prophesying over the kid? No one knows how it's going to grow up and what it's going to do. Seems like a worthless, stupid thing. No. Just work with me now and listen what the Bible says. It wasn't, Don't know what. No, his purposes and plans were first, then creation came. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has a purpose and a plan for that baby and for Daniel and for any other babies that we should walk. And let me just clarify this again. It doesn't matter whether you're saved or unsaved. Is that just for the Christian? No. God has a purpose and a plan. And the whole salvation and redemption and all that's got to come into play. But he doesn't like, okay, Vince and Sherry are terrible sinners. No plan and purpose for that baby. No, no, no. There is a purpose and a plan. That's why when we dedicate babies here, the parents step up and help the dedication. We facilitate it. So what is God's design and creation for purpose? Psalm 139:13. For you formed my inward parts. Just, I'm going to read it slowly because I want you to think deeply about what I'm reading. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. You created my inward parts, all my working parts, my soul, my thoughts, my emotions, my feelings, my senses. You created them and put them together in my mother's womb. How wonderfully I have been made. That's some confidence. David the psalmist writing this. Some self-confidence. Not arrogant. A true child of God who knows his place in God. God is making every effort for us. How wonderfully I have been made. To make sure we are aware of and know his plans and he's laid them out for us. When he is saying, when I was this tiny living little organism, not fully formed and fashioned, you were already writing in your book my journey, your purpose, your plans. He already knew before the, what's that thing you go for, a scan. He already knew whether it was going to be a male or a female. He already knew what name you were going to give your baby. He already knew this, and he was writing and fashioning in his book for you all day. That's what Scripture tells us. The days are formed for me when as yet there was none of them. God was forming and creating a purpose and plan for the days that were to come when we had not even lived one yet. Just let that sink into your head at the moment while it is still spinning. God's design in me reveals God's destiny in me. God's design in me reveals God's destiny in me. When I see a hand or a foot or an eye or an ear, you will recognize, hey, that's me. That's what I'm supposed to do. I was created for this. Discovering your purpose will help you to walk in God's purposes. What talents, there's some questions, what talents or gifts do you naturally possess? Where do you just naturally gravitate towards? What primarily motivates you? Check out Romans 12, go and read the whole chapter. What inward desires do you have that you really want to do? Where does your life produce the most? What do others say about you? Because, you know, often people will recognize a gift in you before you even recognize it. So, I just feel that this is. What are you compelled to pursue? What opportunity is right in front of you? Biblically, there's, I see, and there might be more, but I'm going to go with four for now. There are four ways that God speaks to people and reveals and his intention and his purpose for them. How God reveals our purpose. Number one, the call from birth. A lot of people have a sense that from a young age they were called and have a knowing from birth, I was supposed to do this. When I was young, I was supposed to, and then what happened? Life happened. Circumstances, marriage, children, careers, this thing, that thing. And then the full purpose that I, as a young person, I knew this is what I'm supposed to do, got less. You know what we should understand? Is that the Bible says the call of God is irrevocable. He will get you to where He wants you, where He means you to be. When I was about 2 years old, I was born in a city called Pietermaritzburg. When I was about 2 years old, running around in diapers, an old African beggar came to the door and knocked on the door. My mother opened the door. Okay, I don't remember this. My mother tells me this. And this old beggar said, could he have some food or something he needed? So my mother said, oh, okay. So she went through the kitchen. She made him some sandwiches and made him a cup of tea or something and gave it to him. In the meantime, I came running out and stood and looked at this guy. He fell down on his knees in front of me. My mother came through and he has this old African beggar on his knees and he's looking at me and he looked at my mother and in Zulu, he says to my mother, Nangulum fundis, Nangulum fundis, Nangulum fundis, which translated, there's the pastor, there's the pastor, there's the pastor. And then life happened. I was on track, and then life happened. Life got in the way. One of the best examples, Jeremiah 1:4. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before God formed any one of you in the womb, He knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God is prophesying over Jeremiah and giving him the download. And if I be so bold to say, that's why we are pro-life. Purposes and plans already in the womb, while we're being fashioned and formed. And when we abort, then we kill that dream, that hope, that purpose, that plan. It's growing and developing each day with a purpose and a plan ordained by God. As we read Psalm 139, I formed you, I set you apart, I consecrated you and appointed you. In short, Jeremiah, while you were still in your mother's womb, I had a purpose and a plan for you and for all of us and all the children to come dark, declare over us at the bridge. Verse 6, then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. Youth, young adults, pay attention, listen. If you've never taken notes, take notes this morning. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth. Jeremiah responds, I don't know how to speak. I got an F in orals. Help me here. I don't know. I'm only young. I don't like public speaking. I don't know. I'm just a youth. Who will listen to me? I understand that perfectly because that is also me too. I didn't like publicly speaking. I didn't like doing stuff that I was called to do. And then in business, I got the opportunity to lead and to train and to teach in business. And I thought, yeah, that's okay. I can do that. And then the first time I stood up, I was like making a fool of myself. And then they said to me, well, Mark, you great guy. We want you to pray publicly in church. I was like, are you off your heads? I don't speak. Me no speak. Ask Bridget. She'll tell you. Now she can't shut me up. All I can think of is look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Yeah. I can even joke about it now. 7b, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, go and you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. You think you're going to do it on your own? You think I stand up and do this on my own? No ways. I'm focused on Jesus. Thank you. Holy Spirit is with me. The power of God is flowing through me, and I'm doing this because we get to choose if we will work with Him because the Lord knows what He knows. And sometimes we don't know what he knows, and that's okay. We don't have to. We don't have to understand it all. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. God will continue to chase you. Some of you sitting here, you know that the Lord has been speaking to you, yet you still sit. There is much need in kids' church, in hospitality, in the prayer ministry team, in legends, in pick a place for you to get involved. The worship team, well, you seem to have enough. Maybe God wants a 25-piece band up here. Let's dream big. Come on. Anyway, God will continue to chase you while you still sit. He is patient, he is loving, he is kind. He will not let you go. Speak and declare life over your children. Speak and declare life over your wives and your husbands. You cannot outrun God. It's honestly, please hear my heart. It's time for you, some of you, to stop running and start serving God with all your heart. Potential is overwhelming in this room. Number two, an increasing awareness. Discover your purpose. There is an increasing awareness. It all started with a young boy called Joseph one day, where he has this dream and he sees his whole nation bowing down to him and honoring him. And he was so dumb or so prideful, whatever you want to put it, he goes and tells his brothers, hey guys, guess what I had a dream about? You. And they go, yeah, that's not a very good dream. So they led him from his place to the pit, to the palace eventually. His life looked like a comedy of errors if you go and study it. And he ends up going down seemingly wrong roads, away from God. Some of you had erroneously interpreted issues and stuff that come against you and going, oh, well, there you go. God's not going to use me. I can't do anything. It's not working. I don't know what to do. And you settled for the status quo. I'm too many wrong turns in my life. It's just not working for me. But we have to understand, doesn't matter how many wrong turns on the journey we are on, because those actual turns brought him to a place where God used the seemingly wrong turns to redeem his purpose and his plan. And this could have only happened if Joseph had gone down those different roads and purposes and plans. And eventually, we know the story, eventually the starving brothers all arrive and there's Joseph in his nice Egyptian outfit and they go, oh, sorry, Pharaoh, we're hungry, we don't know what we do. And he says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. None of this could have happened if it wasn't for the wrong turns. Some of you go, I'm tired of the wrong turns. Yeah, me too. But we need to have an increasing awareness. When I recommitted my life to the Lord, I was sort of wondering, what am I? And a friend of mine who wasn't even saved came to me and said, hey, Mark, I don't think you're going to be in business very long. I said, what are you talking about? I'm climbing the corporate ladder. I'm making the big bucks. I've got a nice, I've got all the stuff. She's, no, I don't think you can be in business. I said, what are you talking? She says, no, in 2 years, I think you're not even. Here is this non-saved person prophesying over me. Think about that one for a while. Romans 12. And 2 years he was right. I was called in because then I was playing golf with Greg one day because, as I told you, he used to be a son. So I'm like, hey, Greg. Said, he says, it's okay, Mark, just relax. I know what you want to ask me. Okay. But we have to learn to not interpret the wrong turns in our lives. Luke 22:31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Sometimes we have to go through wrong turns to build the fortitude, the intestinal fortitude within us, means guts, to be able to actually carry out and return back and be able to strengthen brothers because you have the experience in life that will help you speak to those people. These were Peter's side roads of confusion, comparison, and counterfeit. The third the way the Lord talks to you is doors of opportunity. God can only reveal His purpose when you take a step, an opportunity arises. You can see the door, you can recognize the door that leads to where you think it should go, but nothing is going to happen. Here, let me hear something. Nothing is going to happen until you step through that door of opportunity. How do I know? Because we serve a God who opens doors that no one can shut, and He shuts doors that no one can open. We understand that. When we were dreaming to answer the call of God to come to Canada, you know, sometimes you dream of stuff so much that you can taste it, it's real, it's alive, and then when it happens, you go, yeah, because we were dreaming, and we told everyone, we're going to Canada, and we're going to go and plant a church, and we're going to do this, and then the door of opportunity opened, and then we went, life's getting real. Now we've got to sell our home, say goodbye to our family, goodbye. Yeah, this is real. So I phoned up a friend of mine. I said, Peter, what do I do? I'm a grown man. He says, Mark, if you don't walk through this door, you might never walk through any other door. Okay. Babes, we're going. She was already packed. I mean, it's me, the cautious one. In Esther, the story goes like this. The king is having a feast. And he's so proud of his wife, Vashti, that he says to her, he says, babes, get it dressed up in your fine because you're a good-looking woman, and I want to parade you in front of everybody. I want to show you off. Vashti was like, yeah, I'm not your property. I'm not doing that. So the king gets furious, and he says, okay, that's it. You're fired. Take away your position. You're never going to appear before me because the king could only summon you. You just didn't go to the king. You know, if you want to read a book in the Bible, I know Heather was talking about reading books and loves this. And if you want to read a book in the Bible that has got plots and subplots and murderous actions and intrigue and discovery, read the book of Esther. There's like seven layers of plots that are going on in that. And then to cut it short though, then there's this guy Haman who actually doesn't like the Jews, so he's plotting to kill all the Jews. And so the king says, I tell you what, we're going to have a beauty pageant. Because Vashti is like banished now. We're going to have a beauty pageant. And we're going to get all the beautiful virgins. And they're going to spend 6 months getting all made up and creams and blah, blah, blah. And they get to come before me. And then I'm going to choose a new one. And amongst this, there's this guy, Mordecai. So here we have this little Jewish girl who is an orphan. She's poor. She's a social misfit because she's a Jewess living in Babylon. So she's not, so Mordecai's saying, whatever you do, do not tell them you're a Jew. But they go and every day he comes and, how's she doing? How's she doing? Anyway, they parade them out in this beauty pageant and the king goes, ha, I want that one. So he chooses Esther. So then she's talking to her uncle Mordecai and saying, so what was all this? And he basically says, you didn't win this beauty pageant to be the queen. But for such a time as this. You've heard it out of Esther. For such a time as this. Some of you are sitting here for such a time as this. To have a voice in the king's ear. That's why you won this beauty pageant. To expose Haman and his plots to save the people of Israel. Some of you have been ducking the call of God. Now when I talk about the call of God, I don't mean give up your job and go and sit in the mountain. I'm talking about fulfilling what God is calling you. How can you serve the body of Christ? How can you serve outside of there? How do we fulfill what God is calling us into? You've been ducking it, but you think it's for this or it's for that. Or No. God knows the real reason. Esther 4, verse 14 says, for if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. How'd you like to have that sword of Damocles over your head? Basically, he was saying to her, if you don't walk through this door of opportunity, all the Jews are going to get killed. goes on and says, and who knows whether you have not come to this kingdom for such a time as this. Then I will go, she says, to the king. And it is against the law because she couldn't just appear. And if I perish, I perish. That's it. I'll go and do this. Some of you are like Esther. You think it doesn't matter. It's okay. I'll just carry on. You're looking for the next best thing. It's not about career or uni or school. It's about God placing you in your job, Heather, to help them read the Bible, to bring it out there. You are all at the, if you call this place family, you didn't come because you thought it was a cool idea. You came because God thought it was a very cool idea. And I know we like to think, well, I made this decision, I was here. No, 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 God has placed you. Acts 20:17, I think it is. You are here at the bridge for His will, His purpose, His perfect will, His design, declare the words of God within your environment for such a time as this. The last one, fourth, a God encounter or encounters. When God speaks to you, and He does that in many ways, as we've heard before, through dreams, through visions, through actual stuff happening. Acts 9:1, but Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, Christians, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who, I love the question, who are you, Lord? And we got to think about what Scripture says. You know, who are you, Lord? He knew that this was somebody powerful. And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but rise and enter the city and I will be told, and you will be told what to do. I know we've read this a number of times, but just read it and let it sink in for a moment of time into our conceptual thinking. Saul is going about killing Christians. He's asked for letters to kill more Christians and put them in jail. Suddenly, and the Lord uses him to become the greatest apostle that we know of today. And you, some of you are going like, yeah, no, you don't understand. Well, my life's a mess. I don't understand that. I don't get that. No. Suddenly. Today is your suddenly. He calls a murderer. Saul, come here. What? Who are you? Lord. You know you're in greatness when all of a sudden someone is speaking to you and you know exactly he's Lord. I've had encounters with God, and I'm going to share some of it with you. Some of you are thinking, you don't understand. I've got issues. I'm not smart. I don't understand the Bible. I can't read it all the time. I was talking to some of the young guys, and when we read the Bible, it's so spiritual. And when we pray, no, it's not. It's a discipline. And when you do the discipline, then the spiritual stuff happens supernaturally. We think that we've got to actually read the Bible, and that's so spiritual. No, it's good. It's healthy. It's going to the gym and building up your spirit, man. But I missed my call. I don't know what to do now. Suddenly. So these are three pictures on my office upstairs. This is how the, well, number one, I used to fall asleep at night and then I'd hear this voice go, Mark, Mark, Mark. I was like, what the heck? I wake up and I go, no, no, that's just me. Eventually, I realize this is the Lord calling me. So then eventually, because it takes a long time to penetrate, you know, you get up and you go, yes, Lord. And then He would speak to me. So this first one here on the left, so the lady who painted for me, she forgot that I still had brown hair in those days. I was standing in worship, focused in worship, and I felt all these flames around me. And I could actually feel them on my body. So this is when, like, oh, I'm standing and I'm thinking, I'm on fire. And I'm in the middle of a service and all my clothes were burnt off of me. And so I'm standing in my little jockeys in church in my head because my eyes are closed. I'm in this vision and the Lord is speaking to me. And then all of a sudden those very clothes came back on me again. And I'm standing and then the Lord said, flex your muscles. And I went like this. And my arms, where's Cameron? My arms had grown. And as I flexed my muscle, my shirt tore. And then the Lord said to me, take a step forward. And I went forward. And he said to me, hit him on the head. So I hit the person on the head. And there was this like brick person, broke off the person, and a new person emerged. And I could hear, see the words come up, deliverance, depression, all the D stuff, you know. And so I was like, oh my word. That was so real to me that I didn't get burnt, but I could feel the heat of the flames on my leg. And so eventually it took me a few months because I told Bridget, she says, oh, I don't know what that means. And she, I said, what do I do? She's going to ask Greg. So I thought, I'm not going to ask Greg. He'll think I'm a nutter. Eventually, I couldn't handle it. 3 months later, I go and tell him. And if you know Greg, Greg, if you tell him, Greg, I'm battling. I don't know what to do. And I just feel, you know, I feel this and I feel the Lord saying this. You go like this to me. Yeah. And walk away. That was his counsel. That was his mentorship to me. Yeah, okay. Anyway, I'm trying to get this thing done. I'm late. It's important, though. And so then eventually he said, no. Something we've known, and I trust you know it now, the Lord's calling you into full-time ministry. The priests in the old days, before they could go into the sanctuary, into the Holy of Holies, they had to take all their clothes off, burn them, put the back up, and then they went in pure. I'm like, oh, okay. And about a year later, the second one took place. And as you can see, I could never dream of myself buying something like that or wearing something like that. And I felt this thing. I was in worship again, and I felt someone come up behind me and put this cloak on me. And it was just like that, leather strips with his fur ruff and all thing. As they put this weight on me, I started to weep, but not quietly. You know, I don't weep. I used to weep quietly. I just like, ah. Some of the guys there thought I was having a deliverance moment and wanted to lay hands and pray for me. Get away. And what I was afraid of is that the anointing that the Lord was putting on me, I was not going to be able to carry for him, and I would not be able to hold it. And so then they came and prayed for me, and I was like, eh. A year later, I had the exact same vision, but when they put the coat on me, I felt, I can wear this thing. And while that was happening to me, the Lord spoke Isaiah 61 over my life. Third one is I was again in worship, and I felt the Lord showed me this picture, and he said, I'm appointing you to be a gatekeeper in my house. And that's why I'm looking outwards, not looking inwards. And so all I'm saying to you guys is God will speak to you if you tune into him, if you focus on the path. The last slide, God created you on purpose for a purpose. Say that to yourself. God created me for a purpose, on purpose, for a purpose. God created me. Let's stand together. God created me for a purpose, on purpose, for a purpose. We need to understand that. We need to understand that he speaks to us from childbirth. In the mother's womb, he's already planning for us. He needs to understand that he speaks to us through an increasing awareness of our call, of what God is saying to us. He speaks to us when we're through doors of opportunity. And sometimes you can look at the door and go, whoa, no. The Lord is opening the door for you. Walk through it. And then he actually does speak to you in visions and dreams and emotions and feelings. And God created you on purpose, for a purpose. Father, we come to you today, Lord God, and we offer ourselves once again. God, I pray for some today, Lord God, a suddenly time for them. Yes. Holy Spirit, would you come this morning, Lord God, and infuse us once again. Thank you, Lord God, that you already planned and put forward a purpose for us to walk in it, even before we were born, Lord. And Jesus, we come and repent that life got in the way. And we want to say, Lord, I want to serve you more than ever before. I want to stand before you this morning, Lord God, and I want to see that suddenly moment in my life. Holy Spirit, would you fall on us? Would you touch us this morning, Lord? Would you infuse in us once again the call that you've placed in our lives? In business, in the media, in the arts, in school, wherever it is, Lord God, that you would revitalize that call in me once again. You would give me the courage, Lord, to speak and declare your name boldly. It's a year of declaration. And so, God, we want to declare Jesus, mighty God. Thank you for the purpose that you've given me. Thank you for the plans that you have for my life. And all God's people said, amen, amen.